Alrighty, friends, we're back. Your favorite podcast of the week. It's Location Weekly. This is episode number 665. We're recording on April the 16th. And we have a good show for you. Brianna, what's going on? How's your world?
The world is good. It's sunny. Spring is here. Lots of spring sports for the kids and not a lot of spring sports for me, but baseball is here. It's just nice. It's nice to have like some warmth out and just gives you like a refresh and excitement, I would say. So things are good. How are you? How
Yeah,
was
same. I agree. Like it's good to have spring and the weather improving and seeing, flowers breaking through and coming out, the garden and stuff like that. So that's always a good time. Yeah, and I had a great trip last week to Munich for our European Retail Local event in Germany with Karsten and everybody there. So excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, that was coming.
spring is
But
really here.
spring is really here. Yeah, so it was good. Yeah, we had a great turnout, lots of good speakers, and some interesting, sort of topics of discussion there. And then we're just gearing up now for next week. We'll be at the Mall of America in Minneapolis for Retail Local stateside, and that's coming together nicely as well. So it's not too late to join us. It's April 24th and 25th. Check it out. Just go to thelbma.org, click on events, and you'll see it there. So, and reach out if you're coming out. We'd love to see you. So, all right. Well, we've got a good show for you. Four stories as usual, and I'll let Aubriana kick us off.
All right. Well, we're not starting off with something super exciting, but we are starting off with something that we have covered a lot, and that is the FTC coming down on location data aggregators and captures, right? We've seen this across many different providers, and now the FTC has imposed their final settlement on Xmode, or formerly known as Xmode, now OutLogic, for selling location data. So what's happened is that they have finalized an order that's prohibiting Xmode and its successor OutLogic from sharing or selling any sensitive location data. Seems pretty reasonable, right? They've charged that they failed until May of 2023 to remove the sensitive locations from the raw location data that it was selling, and they did not implement reasonable and appropriate safeguards downstream, for the use of precise location data that it was selling. So it was putting, consumers' sensitive personal information at risk. In addition to the ban on selling or sharing the location data, they also will have some other requirements that they have to maintain. So they'll have to create like a program that they develop and maintain and ensure that a list of like sensitive locations, they're not being shared or sold or transferred. And then also it's gonna have to delete or destroy any of the sensitive location data that it previously collected, as well as make sure that any products that were developed from that, get kind of fixed and amended unless it obtains the consumer's consent. They also have to make sure that it's been de-identified, rendered non-sensitive, and then they'll develop a supplier assessment program. So this will make sure that whoever they're supplying to, the companies that they're providing that location data to, or from, are in obtaining the consumer's consent for the collection, for them to use it and sell it. I can say that. And then the final thing is they're going to have to implement some procedures that the recipients of location data don't associate the data with locations that provide services to, sensitive groups, LGBTQ people, public gatherings for political or social demonstrations. I would assume that, religious gatherings are part of this as well. So they're really just looking to establish like this, comprehensive privacy program that's protecting consumers' privacy. Look, I think this is the right thing to do. What I will say is that you and I know several of these location data providers, and I think that it was like we just didn't know what we didn't know at that point in time, right? Like nobody was in our world of understanding has ever been using this data for, mal reasons, right? Nobody's been going out with evil intentions that we have been aware of. But, you know, the world is not always a good place, and there's people that are looking to take things that were meant for good or for advertising and marketing services, and use them for, you know, targeting sensitive groups or so I think this is the right thing to do, absolutely. And I just hope that a lot of these data providers who are, you know, really focused on providing services and, you know, value for consumers like you and I are able to fix these products, amend them, and make the changes that are needed so that they can keep providing these types of services. So I think that it's necessary that these things happen and that these privacy regulations are in place. But I also will, I think, say that most of these companies, I feel like, are definitely not out for evil. So hopefully they can just abide by these and make the updates that are needed to continue to serve and thrive the organizations that they do. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, like, we've known these companies for a long time. We've had relationships with, you know, people who work at these companies. Many of them have been part of the location-based marketing association over the years. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I would say 99.9% of everything, you know, is above board and, you know, are good, useful advertising applications of this data, or analytics applications of this kind of data. There's always that 1%, you know, that sits out there that, you know, is trying to do something that they shouldn't be doing with it, right? And, you know, I think it, the reality is that, yes, the FTC is coming out here and saying, okay, you know, we're imposing these restrictions and these fines and whatnot. And I think they're right in their approach there. I agree with you on that. I think that this won't be the last case of somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing with this kind of data. The data is getting harder to collect, you know, so I think that, you know, in itself, you know, changes the game a little bit. And, you know, I think hopefully it's a wake up call to some of the other providers that are out there today that maybe haven't been in this situation yet to make sure that, you know, they're, you know, sort of, if I'm them, I'm following the same guidelines here, right? I'm doing exactly everything here that, even though it hasn't been imposed on me as it has for OutLogic, I'd be like, yeah, let's just make sure we're in alignment with this and you know, sort of making sure that we're doing things in the right and consumer, you know, friendly and privacy compliant way. So I'm fully supportive of it.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Okay, on to our second story, something a little more fun and uplifting. I don't know, you're not a dog owner. Right?
Not anymore. I used to
not
be.
Not yet. Not yet. Maybe
not
again.
Anymore. Not anymore. I think I'm good.
But anyhow, Pedigree, the pet food company out there, has launched a new campaign called Adoptable. And this is using AI technology to improve the ads that they're putting out there, in particular around trying to help the adoptions of shelter dogs. And so I think this is super interesting. So what they've done is they've essentially taken photos of these dogs that are in shelters that have been taken by, you know, workers in the shelters who are not professional photographers, and then used AI to essentially enhance, or what they're calling glow up, these photos to make them, you know, appealing to, you know, potential adopters out there. And then they've integrated this with geotargeting and first party data to improve the ad efficacy on this, so that you know, they can try and, you know, get this into the hands of the right people in the right places. So they, from a numbers point of view, it says that there's 12 million dogs in shelters worldwide. And the quality and characteristics of dog photos can drastically reduce adoption time. So the aim here is to say, look, let's improve the quality of these photos. Let's, you know, make these, you know, things that are, you know, more appealing. And they're using AI to do that, to refine the images. And then basically deliver the ads based on, you know, a viewer's location or pet availability in that area. From a location perspective, to place these in the right places in front of the right people. So I think it's a good, really simple, great use case of AI to, on image enhancement. So I like it. They worked with an experienced design firm called Nexus Studios to do this, and they're piloting this in New Zealand, which is where they typically pilot, anything that they're rolling out before they roll it out to the global market. So, very interesting. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I love this, like, influencers in the wild canine version. They're getting like all these dogs out there and the glow up. I mean, I think all of us really would love a glow up when it comes to the pictures that we post on social, but this is for such a good cause. So I love seeing how they're using the visual AI components to do this. And I was like looking at some of the pictures that they had done, and it was interesting. It's cute just to see like the original, just like everyday photo that's taken of the dog, and then how they can change the poses and kind of make it a little bit more marketable, right? All of us need a little bit of finessing, and I guess that's no exception for the dogs trying to get adopted here. So I love
Yeah.
it.
All righty. Cool.
So onto a service that's super helpful and something that probably most of us have used is a Find My Device service. You have had Find My Friends, Find My Contacts when it comes to the iOS Apple devices for a while, but now Google is kind of upgrading and launching this upgrading Find My Device network in the US and Canada. So this is going to be available for Android users around the globe very soon. And it's a crowdsourced network, in essence, of more than a billion Android devices that can help users find their misplaced and everyday items. So this is, again, similar to Apple's Find My Network, and it works with devices running Android 9 Plus. So you'll be able to use it for phones, tablets, even when they're offline by ringing them or viewing their location on the map. So previously, the service required that lost phones would have an internet connection in order to be located. And I know this very well because although I am an Apple device user, I also have a Samsung device for work, and my kids love to play with it. It's great. It's great for taking pictures, I have to say, and it's great for watching videos. Like, the screen quality is amazing. So they're constantly using it and constantly losing it, and I am always on Find My Android, Googling that, and I can just like click on it and it rings. But if the battery's dead, no such luck, right? So I'm very excited about this upgrade because I will definitely use it. It's also going to allow the Pixel 8 and 8 Pro users to find their devices even if they're powered off and the battery's dead, which is great. So this is going to start in May. This feature, they're going to integrate Bluetooth tracker tags, keys and wallets, and also tags from Chipolo and Pebblebee to the Find My Device app. And these tags are built specifically for the Find My Device network, but they're going to be compatible with the unknown trackers across Android and iOS to help protect us from unwanted tracking. The other thing about this is that I was thinking about my husband's business, right? He has like a Rent the Runway model for a medical device that helps people recover faster post-surgery. And so these pieces of equipment that he rents out in, massive amounts of them, he likes to track because it's an expensive piece of equipment and you can't always count on UPS or FedEx. So he has trackers in them. So I was thinking about like, what are the adverse effects of maybe these potential tracker alerts? It's not unwanted tracking because it's not tracking a person, it's tracking actually a box, right? It's tracking a piece of equipment. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. They're also going to see some compatible tags from Motorola, Jio, and Eufy later this year. But this kind of goes back to last year when Google and Apple said they were going to work together, and all of the industry is like, what? Shocked by that. But they're really looking to have this industry-wide initiative to alert users in case of unwanted tracking from Bluetooth devices. And I think that this is important. We have to figure out how do we differentiate between tracking people and tracking products or goods, right? So I think that's going to be the next step. And how do you really make this, a finesse and scalable solution? So it'll be interesting to see how that happens. But the final integration piece that they announced is that the Nest smart home gadgets will show lost devices proximity to the Nest devices. And then it might also be able to work in the near future with headphones like JBL or Sony. So lots of features and enhancements. I'm glad to see they're making some of these improvements. I think it's a great feature set. It's a great solution that so many of us will use. So it'll just be interesting to see how does this help us not be tracking, we don't want people tracking our children, but how do we have the ability to track maybe our goods that we're moving around? What do you think?
Yeah, it's super useful. I'm an Apple guy, so we've had this kind of capability for a long time here, but I think from an Android perspective, I think this is fantastic. I think the integrations that they've done here, the Bluetooth devices, the sort of find your keys, find your wallet, find your phone, find your watch, all of those things I think are super useful. And I know I use them from time to time in the Apple ecosystem as well. Like, we all lose things. So I think it's incredibly powerful. And I think the other thing that I like about it is that, from a location data perspective, going back to our first story today, they seem to have kind of built this in a way where they're saying, hey, look, there's end-to-end encryption on the location data, as well as aggregated, device location reporting. So it's not in to the individual. To what you're saying in terms of the balance between tracking the devices that we need to find and tracking people, they seem to have accounted for that in the right way, from a safety perspective. At the end of the day, there's always going to be ways to track people back to their home location. But if it's not coming from this, at least that I think that's a solid, implementation that they've put here. So I like it a lot. And yeah, I mean, I have non-Apple devices. I've got headphones and other things too that I use that are not Apple products. So I think I can see how this comes together with that. Yeah, I mean, if you're in the Android world today and you woke up and you heard this story, I think you're a happy person. So there you go. All right, final story now. So we're jumping over to Sweden and the grocery world. So there's a company called ICA, which is one of the leading grocery retailers in the country. And they've partnered up with a company called Cleveron. Now, I love that name. That's a great name, Cleveron. So they are a tech company that specializes in robotic-based parcel handover solutions. So they're all about, that last mile, and you've ordered your groceries and trying to facilitate a quick exchange and pickup of that, if when you go to the store to do that. So they ran a pilot project, which wrapped up in April of 22. Yes, April of 22, or started in April of 22, and then they ran this through to this year. They've automated now 75 in-store pickup points across their store networks. And so the whole goal of this is to kind of free up, the human labor aspect of this, to do other things, right? And so if they don't have to be there to, pack everything and, be there when somebody comes to pick up their order and hand that over and check, that it's the right things and all of that, that takes time, that takes effort and costs money. So if we can automate those processes, that's what they're aiming for here. And so essentially there's some robotic technologies that happen here. They've got parcel lockers that enable, quick collection. They've got, they say that they can collect their orders within seconds instead of standing in a queue for several minutes to do this, waiting for store associates to come over and interact with them. And as I said, it's all about, sort of just freeing up that labor to do other things. I think, Cleveron, it's not a company I was familiar with. They're based in Estonia. They currently work with retailers like Zara and H&M. And logistics companies like DHL and UPS as well. They operate in about 51 countries. So they, you know, they're a big player in this sort of, you know, parcel pickup automation, last mile space. And I think, you know, this is something that I think, you know, there's a lot of growth opportunity for. You know, I think if we, you know, we talked a lot, and even at the conference last week in Munich, you know, there's a lot of conversation about this sort of self-checkout technology that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and how Amazon and Walmart and Dollar Tree and everybody's kind of getting rid of it or cutting down on it, you know, because they're losing too much from that. But if you can instead, let's say, have an order online and pick up at store, you know, and it's all sort of, you know, facilitated through automation, to me, that's a much better, you know, use case, right? If it's about, you know, sort of cutting down on labor costs, which the self-checkout technologies aim to do, but you're losing too much money, maybe a good alternative to that is to look at something like this, where, you know, you try to drive people towards, you know, ordering online, and then, you know, having it, you know, sort of packed and ready and for pickup at the store, you know, in a robotic technology like this with lockers, I think, you know, could be a different way to go about it. You know, to kind of free up that labor for other things still. So I like the story, and I see a lot of growth opportunity for, you know, technologies like Cleveron. So.
Yeah, not much to add. I think that there's definitely opportunities for us to continue to try new ways to utilize technology, robotics for, you know, delivery of goods and services to us as humans, right? So like cutting out some of maybe the pain points that businesses have with, you know, training a staff, retaining a staff, ensuring that everybody's there on time for things to run properly. So I think that there's like pros and cons to all of it. And as we're seeing with the self-checkout, like we're going to see how these technologies try and succeed or fail, right? So I think it's like one to keep watching. Cleveron. It's like Chevron, but smarter.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good name. It's you know, it's got a ring to it. So I like it. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Four great stories there. You've been listening and watching episode number 665 of Location Weekly. We, of course, will be back with another show next week. Just as a reminder, we will be in Minneapolis at the Mall of America for Retail Loco. So if you're in the area, or want to be in the area, come out and join us. Just go to thelbma.org and click on events, and you can learn more about it there, or reach out to Aubriana or I. We're happy to connect you up or get you a pass or something like that. So we'd love to help you out with that too. So, thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you next week with another show. Take care. Bye.